Hello guys, welcome to Playtime Podcast, and today we have Temptation.
Hello everyone, it's me, I'm back again.
He's back!
And what series is this? Episode 13, series 2?
Series 3.
Yeah, I know, mate.
We're flying through them.
We're flying and no one cares. Your views are doing all right, man.
Your views are doing very, very well.
Yeah.
People love it. I hope people love it. Do you guys love it? Let us know.
people love it. Do you love it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Please love it. Please. It's been a while since we've got any feedback. No, I'm joking. Yeah, season 3, mate. You've been on season 1, 2, and number 3 now. We can't not have you.
You're our most visited guest. Visited?
And most viewed in terms of averages.
Really?
Yeah. Every time Temps is on, we get more views.
Sick. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Love that.
So can you just post loads of content for us?
Oh, I see what it is.
This is why.
Unlucky number 13, though.
We're using you for the viewership.
Well, I've been using you for years now. It's coming to fruition now. It's so
true. he's used me, and now he's now on his own.
I'm on my own.
You're on your own.
I am on my own.
He's on his own. He's got no friends either.
Yeah.
How's we're not going to go too much into Chelsea because obviously we can't really talk too much about it, but how's it been? How's it going?
Yeah, I'm in the deep end.
He's in the deep end. He's with the sharks.
In the deep end. Can't really say too much, can I?
So are you drowning in the deep end or are you swimming in the deep end?
I've got armbands on, okay. But I'm out of my depth.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Nice one.
He's a small fish in a huge, huge ocean.
Pond.
Nah, ocean. He's really in the deep end. Look, he's having a heart attack now.
What, the other day? Have you ever had this? Right, I was so hungover.
Oh, this is so funny.
And I was laying in bed, and like, you know, when you're so tired but you can't sleep, and then I started overthinking everything. And when you think about breathing, you stop breathing. And then I was like, you normally breathe without thinking about it, but then if you think about breathing, you hold your breath a bit longer.
Do you?
And then I was scared to go to sleep because I didn't wake up. But I did wake up. Because I'm here.
I'll tell you what, on that topic, I bought some mouth tape.
Oh my God, he spoke about this in the last episode.
Did I talk about this in the last episode?
Yeah, yeah. There's a whole bit of this.
Oh, okay.
On the episode that airs today.
Let's not talk about them.
No.
Let's bypass it.
Is your tongue comfortable in your mouth?
Yeah.
Don't freak him out. He did this to me as well.
Everyone on the podcast, really, it's like when you don't think about your tongue, it's just there, isn't it? When you start... Think about it. It feels uncomfortable in your mouth.
Like, where do you put it?
Yeah.
What do you mean, where do you put it? It's in your mouth. Let it sit in your mouth.
We've lowered the tone already.
Yeah. So...
Tems is making us feel hungover. You're making me feel really weird with all your questions.
Good. At least I'm not on the boat on my own.
What did you do last night in Tems?
We actually did Tough Mudder yesterday, which was pretty fun, wasn't it?
So much fun.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for cancelling last minute.
Yeah, I had stuff to do, mate.
What?
Just a bit of work.
Nice.
Yeah.
To be fair, it took a big chunk of the day.
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, you know, I'm all for a tough mudder, but
and a tough time.
Yeah. How was it? Difficult,
tough, and muddy.
Yeah,
literally.
Were you sort of like competing against each other, or were you?
It's impossible to do it quick.
Yeah,
there was so
well,
many.
Well, it isn't.
Huh?
It isn't.
Well, it is because you have
to
queue up.
That's like saying it's impossible to, you know, eat something.
What are we?
No, there's like 15 to 20 obstacles around this course.
Yeah.
And you have to queue up for some of them.
Yeah, it's true. We had to queue up.
You can't just dash past people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't. There was one point where we were literally waiting for 15 minutes and we're like, this is a bit long. We got cold then. We had to like lift up these logs.
Pick up a log, walk around in a circle.
And then come back and run out. Honestly. So I must admit, some of the obstacles were a bit odd. Yeah. Like,
there's a big open field and it's got the best obstacles.
Oh,
like, you jump off of a platform, you run up a like half pipe trying to get to the top, monkey bars over water. They're all sick.
Yeah.
The ones around the course are actually a little bit...
Well, the ones in the forest are just ankle breakers. Honestly.
Yeah, you need to be careful.
Yeah, I nearly... My ankles...
What? They're just a bit loose?
Bit loose. I've also got quite small ankles, I think.
Nice socks, actually.
Thank you, mate. From Ami.
Yeah, nice.
Army.
What? As in, you've just had ankle problems in the past, or...?
No, I'm just saying, because... Anyway, it was tough.
Okay.
Yeah, it was tough. It was fun, though. It was really, really fun. It was a great way to start the weekend, I must admit. early doors, doing that 15K, bit long. Next time, I'd definitely do 10K. There's no point in doing 15.
Oh, this leads me nicely onto another little challenge, actually. So, right.
Oh, my God.
No, this is a question for both of you. I've been wanting to talk about this for ages. Okay, so the numbers are 6, 12, 18, 24, right? The things you have to do are wanks, run miles, drink beers, eat donuts.
In what order?
You have to complete one before moving on to the next one. Which would you do?
How long do you have time? How long do you have?
And you've got to do it in a 24-hour period.
24-hour period. So I think I'd start with the six wanks.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the easy. You can't have more than six wanks. I think the most I've had is probably like four.
Yeah, okay. So you're going to have six wanks.
What was it, 12?
12.
I'd have 12 miles.
12 of you.
That's right. 12 miles. Like, so 12 mile run.
Yeah.
And then what's the next one?
Beers or donuts. Oh, sorry. 18 and 24.
Ooh, I'll do 18. Oh no, because if you have the donuts before the beer, you'll be full up. I'll do 18 beers, 24 donuts. I think that's the order I'd do it.
Same apart from beers last.
Beers last.
You'd want to eat 18 donuts and then try and drink 24 beers.
Yeah, but there's no time limit.
To be fair, yeah,
no, in 24 hours.
24 hours, you've got 24 hours.
So you'd have to wake up, have six wanks, then depleted, you'd have to then run 12 miles, then completely fucked from the run. You'd have to drink 18 beers, and then you're going to finish the day off with 24 donuts.
Donuts
my
first.
God.
Donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start with donuts, and then what?
So exactly the same as you, apart from...
switch around the 24 wanks, so you'd have 24 wanks in there, and then six
no,
donuts.
Switch around the donuts and the drinks. Beers.
Okay.
Six wanks, 12 runs.
Yeah.
12 miles run.
18 donuts.
24 beers.
Because he's a lad, he's a beer monster. To be fair, I reckon that does make sense for him because you can proper take down some beers, can't you?
Well, I think also you want to eat after you've done the run.
True.
And but yeah, you wash but it down.
That yeah, donuts though. Are they like just what sort of donuts?
You can do like the glazed ring glazed donuts from Krispy Kreme.
Oh, they're delicious.
Don't want to do the donut. The Project D ones. Oh my God. Imagine eating 18 of them.
I had one of those. I thought I was going to puke. I was like, oh God, I'm so full. Yeah, great challenge, by the way. Thanks for that.
Well, I've just thought I've completed Tough Mudder. We'll clip this and I'll do it. I'll film it for a YouTube thing. Probably wouldn't put myself wanking on
line. Please actually do it.
Please.
Should I try and do it?
You should try and do it.
Okay, so I would do, which camera are I looking into? I'm going to go six wanks, 12 miles run.
18.
Oh. 18 donuts, 24 beers.
18 donuts, 24
Same
beers.
As Charlie.
Yeah, fair. It's a good order.
Good stuff.
Great order. So, yeah, I'll let you know when I've done that.
If you see Temps running, sweating, you know what he's doing. You know what challenge he's doing. Everyone cheer him on if you see him in the street.
What should we call it?
The wank run? I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. Also, where did you come up with this?
I saw it on TikTok.
So has someone done it?
I don't know.
God, that'd be amazing if someone did that. I don't know. Oh, tough. Because I think, also, can you imagine the six wanks? God, I'd be exhausted. I'd be like, oh, go for a 12-mile run.
No, but you'd wait. I'd wait till I'd start at midnight.
Yeah.
And sort of get two out.
Yeah.
Go to sleep. Set an alarm for like, what, 4 in the morning or something.
Yeah, and have another two.
Have another two. And then wake up. And
then have another two.
Do another two. So it's...
And you can't... So you can't have a few donuts before the run. And no. Then, nah.
I mean, I think I probably failed at the first hurdle, mate. It's
quite a lot. I can't get a boner.
Can you imagine the pressure? Can't do it.
Imagine doing it last. You just drunk 24 beers and you're trying to wake afterwards. I can't get it up.
On your own. Just why won't it work?
Oh my God, that really tickled me.
That.
Oh dear. Anyway.
So let's get back to it. What did you get yourself last night?
Yeah, sorry. So did Tough Mudder. Had a wank. No, did Tough Mudder and I was completely fucked. It'd been a long day, like obviously ran 15 kilometers in the sun, whatever. And everyone was texting around like, oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? But Jamie was up. So we ended up going to Bluebird for a bit.
Yeah.
Bluebird, did you say?
Bluebird, yeah. Then nice. To Jack's.
I've been to Bluebird in a while, you know.
No, it was nice, actually.
It's quite quiet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It was a good vibe, though. And then we went to Jack's.
Coco and Nicole were in there as well, so it's good to see them.
Nice. Okay, and then you went to Jack's, Raffles.
I ended up in Raffles, yeah.
Then anything happened?
Went to bed.
On your own, or?
Well, technically Jamie was with you.
Jamie was at my house.
Okay, fine. So
why is your heart racing?
Because I'm severely hungover. And I've been standing outside the fucking North End Road with loads of scatty people making me trip
Don't
out.
Don't say that, because they watch the podcast. Yeah, it was fun. I was there with you at Jack's and I left a bit early. I was there sober, which was an interesting
Miles had
one.
His first drink in
no,
4 months.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, a little gin and tonic.
No, I heard you had a gin and tonic.
No, I didn't. Okay, let me explain this because this is going to piss me off, right? So we're at Bluebird.
Hey,
right?
First of all, did
no,
you
no, no,
sip
I'm explain,
gin?
I'm explaining this. Did you I'm, explain, sip I'm explaining gin? It. I'm explaining it. I'm explaining the story. So I went to Bluebird. I ordered lemonade and the boys ordered gin and tonics. And they come with the wrong order, whatever. And there's two glasses and kind of half full. And I was talking to Jamie. I was like, oh, Jamie, what's the lemonade one? He was like, oh, it's this one. I was like, oh, do you mind trying it before? I just don't want to drink any gin. He's like, no, I promise you that is the lemonade. I was like, you sure? He's like, yeah, fine. Should have seen it coming. I sipped it. Oh, straight gin. Not even any tonic in there yet. Straight gin in my mouth. Disgusting. And then the boys are like, oh, that's it, you've drunk again after 4 months of not drinking.
It's because I put tonic water in the lemonade.
Yeah, and then he put tonic water in my lemonade.
So then he had a disgusting drink.
Oh yeah.
And a gin.
Yeah, great.
Has it been 4 months now then?
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Thanks, mate.
Do you feel like a different man?
It's weird. Like I'm sort of used to it now. It was the first 10 weeks. I noticed, I was like, whoa, I feel really good. Now I'm just like, nothing's really changed. Like,
I bet your sleep quality has got way better.
Worse.
Really?
Yeah, and that's because it's got nothing to do really with drinking or not. Like, I'm just in a really bad sleeping habit at the moment. That's all it is. So it's got nothing to do with actually drinking or not drinking. It's just, I need to get back into a really good rhythm. I've got a lot on my mind, so I haven't been able to shut off in the evenings.
Yeah.
But yes, essentially my sleep is better on the weekends because I'm not going out.
I feel like you haven't really benefited from not drinking because of what's going on in your life. You know, normally if I was to stop drinking, I'd be like, right, I'm gonna train really hard, I'm gonna get motivated for work, I'm gonna do this, and everything seems to align.
Yeah.
You're just in an unfortunate position at the minute where you're not drinking and everything else is like
just piling on top of each other. Yeah. I've got so much and I can't even think probably.
But think about it like this, like if you did
that's
drink
the thing
right now, you'd be a bit of a fucking train wreck, wouldn't you?
Oh my god, it'd be
well,
worse.
Well, not train wreck.
No, but it'd be worse because I'd be so busy plus hungover, then not being able to do the things I want to do.
Yeah.
So I think I'll reach the benefits of it probably at the end of the year. But I say that, that's probably when I'll start drinking.
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know. Also, I always get this question being like, oh, when are you going to drink again? Like, is it, how are you feeling about it? And it's a weird feeling because what I've noticed is that I don't miss it. And that's why I don't want to drink, because it's like, I actually haven't gone out and gone, oh, I really could do a couple of beers. Because if I felt that, I think I would have drunk last night. I think if last night I was around you and I was like, oh, tequila lime soda, that's my favorite drink, I didn't feel like drinking that. So I haven't had that yet. And I keep saying, I think when that comes about, I will go and have a drink because I don't want to be sober. It's not about me being sober now. Like, I enjoy alcohol. I love a glass of red wine here and there. So it's just, it's right now where I'm at in my life with the things I'm doing, it works perfectly not drinking. And I think once kind of this, you know, period of time is over and I'm a little bit less busy, I think that's when I can kind of decompress and enjoy, you know, actually going out and having a few drinks.
It is really admirable, and I give you a bit of stick, but like,
no, but I like that.
It needs to be normalized that people don't drink.
Yeah.
Because you can go out, have fun, and not drink.
Oh, 100%. Like, we went to a wedding and, you know, unbelievable wedding, by the way. Nick and Molly's wedding. And I didn't drink. And I had such a good night. I was dancing on the dance floor. I had about 10 elderflowers. And it was just...
Steady on there, cowboy.
Be careful, boys. Peed a lot.
Pissed all night.
All night. No, but it was actually really fun.
Some big sugar high.
Yeah, I know, man. Woo, bit depleted from then. But that was really fun. And I actually enjoyed it so much. I was like, you know what? It's nice to go to events. I think, you know what, if I had done like a, you know, like one of those 3 day weddings, like what you did, your wedding, no way I could have done that without any alcohol, because you're constantly with people drinking. It's impossible. You'd also have the worst time. So for events or nights out where it's just a few hours here, whatever, easy.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I woke up fully clothed.
in his tux. We got home and he was on the phone to someone, and then I went to the toilet. I came back and he was just snoring with his phone there, and I left you to it because I was like, I don't want to wake him up. You're going to be like in the worst mood, and fully tuxedoed.
I don't think I would have woke up.
Yeah. Is that your phone?
Well, fine.
Mate.
That's not mine.
Wasn't mine either.
10 burpees, please.
It's probably Laurie's.
Hang on. So you're not drinking. So what made you make the decision to dye your hair ginger?
Funny. Funny.
You can't blame that.
Also, can we talk about take that haircut of yours? Your little fucking blonde tips, frosted tips in yours.
Talk us through it.
No, talk us through your frosted tips.
Pissed and bleached my hair.
Yeah, true.
Wait, let's actually go through...
Yeah, the hair.
So what brought this on?
So basically...
What were you thinking?
I was thinking, right, that, and it didn't... It kind of hasn't... I need to do it again. So I wanted... Like highlights, like you know, when you get sun kissed hair when you go summer,
bit like Tempt.
No, his is frosted tips.
He was like, I want to be like Tempt.
Definitely not. No, never in a million years. And I went to my hairdresser, did it, and it was very, it's like light brown, so you can barely see it. However, with the shine, you can kind of see a few like highlights, but I need to do it again so you can see more of it.
Well, so which parts is it, just your fringe or the full thing?
The full crown,
okay. Nice. I mean, I can see it's a bit lighter.
Can you see a bit lighter? There's a few light hairs.
I can see it's a bit lighter. Yeah. I can't lie though. It's not as blonde as I thought it would be.
No,
when I didn't saw it in your story. I was like, oh wow, he's going for it.
Yeah. No, I didn't want to do that because I don't want Tams's hair.
Yeah.
So I wanted like just, you know, a few highlights that you see, and also we were testing it out, and that's why we did it really minimal.
Yeah.
And I think I'm gonna go next week and then get a few more, and then you'll probably see them.
Oh, nice.
All right. Okay. Nice. Right, you little ginger. Blonde.
Hey, you can't call me ginger.
No, whatever, mate.
Anyway, that's just a bit of lighthearted banter for the podcast.
Yeah,
wouldn't
there
have
go.
Said it if I wasn't getting filmed, just trying to make you laugh, you know?
You do, actually. You said it before we filmed, so... You are doing it. Regardless, something with Tamps is he doesn't do it for camera. He is what he is, off and on camera. Like, you know, it's sometimes I think it's a beauty, and sometimes I'm like, you know what? No, I don't like it.
I'm a twat.
You are a twat. You're
thinking about doing yours?
Nah. I'm right.
Any highlights? I can help you out.
Not for the time.
To be fair, with that light, it looks like he's got ginger hair.
People do say I look a bit ginger. Some girls say it to me sometimes.
Do you have any Irish in you?
No. I got some Scottish in me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I see that.
I thought that was a joke.
No.
I guess that because he's got my dick is Dublin.
Nice.
I'm a fucking weirdo.
Okay, so let's go back to a little bit of Chelsea. How's everything been with you? With that, obviously, you can't really say too much. But we keep talking about that you're on the deep end. You are on the deep end. The question is, did you ever think when you were starting the show that you were going to end up in this position that you are in today?
No.
Yeah, I bet you weren't.
Well, let's be honest, for the first 5 episodes of the first series I did, I may as well have been a plant pot. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, true.
Just stood there smiling like this.
It's
one of those things, isn't it? I think I have fully committed to it. You see a lot of people come and go, don't you? I think a lot of people thought that I was going to be the same, but I've committed to it. I've been myself on the show. And I think it's just natural progression of being on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was the question again?
The question is, do you feel like, did you think you were going to be in this position that you're in today with Chelsea?
With my current situation and what's going on? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I bet you didn't. I didn't even see it coming.
It's funny because the first thing that everyone says is it scripted? Is it this? Is it that? It's so real, isn't it? And I think what I'm going through now is literally, it affects everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is my whole life and it's on TV.
Yeah, it is.
Well, not yet, but it will be.
How is it like exposing your whole life? I guess you've done that through your Instagram and TikTok, pretty much.
I think the thing
your
for
whole
me is
adult life, though, haven't you?
Yeah, because I've been very open with my life on social media. If I was to go onto a show and be any different, it would look.
Ooh, the hangover's coming in.
if I was to go on to Chelsea and be different, people would be like, "What are you doing?" And it would make it look inauthentic.
Have you had that? Have you had like? Friends from uni or friends from back home, you're like, oh, you've changed. Because I think a lot of that happened to me when you do a TV reality show and then was like, oh, you were never like this, you've changed, you're not like this. Like, Has that happened to you now?
No, it's quite funny because even I can remember when I was at work, I did on the graduate program, they gave out certificates at the end of like us graduating, and I got the one that was like most likely to be on reality TV. And I can remember at the time being offended because I was like, I've just done a university degree, I've got onto this graduate program, and you're basically saying, you're not made for the office, mate. go and be on TV. But like, I think because I was doing that, I used to do all the internal comms for O2. So like, they had like a Telefonica TV, and I'd always present on it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Wait, so what do you mean? I don't understand what you mean.
So the company that I work for.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I dumbed this down. So I used to work for a company.
Oh, okay.
And there's internal communications. So it's essentially a website for the company and the employees.
Right.
That external people can't see.
Okay.
And it would be like updates on the business, whatever. And I used to do presenting for that.
Okay. Like pitch it, basically.
Say they won an award or something. Say the company won an award.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, it's Temps from the online team.
Oh, fine.
I'd be presenting stuff.
Okay. And only the internal team at the office would see that content.
My hangover's rubbing off.
Yeah.
You and soon to be
new. Okay, so... Sorry, continue with that story. So you did that, and that's why people thought you'd end up on reality TV.
Yeah, so I think the question was, wasn't it, do people think I've changed since I've been doing it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Mm.
But also, there's that saying, isn't it? You are the product of the closest five people that you hang around with.
Yeah,
and
true.
I'd like to think I've gone through my life trying to better and progress myself. So hanging around with those people, you two might be anomalies. No, but like you do start rubbing off on each other, don't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. My accent hasn't really changed, has it?
Well, when we shoot, you do go a bit posh.
Do I?
Yeah.
But again, I think it's because you're the product of the five people that you're hanging around with.
Yeah, or the environment.
Until you start arguing, then you're like, you fucking dick.
You fucking what? Honestly. Let's talk about arguments on the show.
I've quite a few of them this series.
You've had a lot of arguments. You've had a lot. You know what? For someone, I'm sort of semi-proud of you. Also, I know it's hard to go through it because it's, you know, a lot of people who look at TV reality go, oh, it's so easy. It's like putting your whole life on air for people to judge and have an opinion about is really hard. And going through, you know, these waves of just constant argument or any sort of like relationship problems or anything like that, and you have to, you know, do it on TV is really, really hard. And if you're not mentally strong for it, it's something that, you know, not a lot of people can do. How have you found that?
I think the one thing, it's a really weird one. So you have to have a backbone, don't you? And you have to stand up for yourself in real life and as how you want to be portrayed on a TV show. So I think I do give people the benefit of the doubt, but then it gets to the point where I'm like, I'm undervaluing myself with the things that are happening.
Yeah.
So you need to stand up for yourself and be heard and be making me laugh and be counted. So like,
okay, the question I'm gonna ask you now, and it might ruffle some feathers in the, you know, in TV world, but do you feel like you've got to a point on the show where an answer as you want, you don't have to, you know, give too much away, but do you feel like now is your time to kind of say, fuck it, I'm doing me now? Because I feel like you've given your honest, true self. And I think the people that you're involved with, you know, friends, people, romantically, all that kind of stuff, have been playing you a little bit and kind of overdoing it maybe for the persona of being on TV.
I mean, hindsight's an amazing thing, isn't it? Like, we all saw what happened in Corsica, but I didn't actually get to see the real truth until 2.5 months after.
Yeah, true.
But I'm going to say no, because I think part of my personality is like being vulnerable and wearing my heart on my sleeve. And I'd rather fail doing that and staying true to myself than trying to overthink stuff. You've got to remember that we're paid to have an opinion. Everyone's going to have one.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that that's fact.
Yeah.
I could have an opinion on something, then somebody could overhear it, and then they think that that's gospel and whatever it is. I don't want to change for anything. I think...
Are you a bit more wary though now? Like, are you with people on the show? Like, are you now thinking, okay, I think it's great that you're going to stay true to yourself and be that vulnerable person and wear your heart on your sleeve, but I think with certain people on the show, maybe not give away too much and not give away too much of you to them.
Mm. I'd like to say yes, but it, probably not.
Nah, he's a melt.
I don't know about melt, but...
No, I'm joking. I'm only teasing you.
I don't want to change who I am, and I'd rather get burned a few times.
I think it's hard for me, though, because I think being one of your closest friends and, like, you know, bringing you into this very, very odd world that I'm in, that I've been in for few years, it's hard because obviously I know how good you are. And then when I see other people kind of like taking advantage of that, it's like, oh, fuck, you know. But again, it's your journey and you've got to go through it.
Yeah. It's a sticky situation.
Sticky one still.
But yeah, as long as you're having fun. Yeah, I am. You get stresses with any jobs, don't you?
Yeah, true.
I remember when I used to work corporate world and I was like,
this is not for me.
No, like, you're going to love some days, you're going to hate some days. Yeah, but on the whole, it's good. I'm really enjoying it.
Wait, can we ask you a question? Are you single? Would I say that?
I think you can.
Why not? Because technically, you're no longer with your ex. Everyone knows that. That's come out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Because that's what's coming in Corsica.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, you are right now, as the audience is viewing you right to this day.
TV world.
Yeah, TV world, you're single.
Single. That kind of got brushed over though, didn't it?
Like, yeah. Can we get an exclusive a little bit here?
What?
Just a bit of an exclusive. I mean, look, if you're going to go on one podcast to talk about what happened between yourself and Imogen, this is your platform. Without being, you know, I know you'll never be disrespectful, but I think a lot of people should know maybe a little bit about.
Yeah, I would actually be interested to hear a bit as well, because I don't think we've ever properly... spoken about it.
I guess what you saw in Corsica was it all blew up at that dinner party, wasn't it? And there was so much stuff going on that whatever was going on between Imogen and I sort of just got brushed under the carpet. But I just felt like she was giving Harvey a bit too much energy, and we were going through like a few difficulties, and I just thought that if the energy was put into our relationship as opposed to worrying about Harvey, then it would have put us in a good stead. And yeah. It happened. There were a few things that had happened.
Was this after Corsica that you broke up?
No, in Corsica. In Corsica, yeah.
The last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, last week of Corsica.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about the last, that day, the dinner party day?
What you saw on TV was Harvey and Willow having an argument, and then everyone was chiming in, and then Imogen brought something up about their sex life, and I just felt like it was an argument that didn't really involve her. I don't know, it was just too much involvement surrounding Harvey, I think.
Yeah.
And it was just the final straw. It's a really sad one, because I had so much fun with her. Like, I wouldn't ever want to bad mouth her. I think she's a great girl and we had a lot of fun with each other, but I'm getting older now, and like I'm looking for real relationships and like somebody who I can take seriously. So
have you seen Imogen since you've been back to London?
Yeah.
How's that?
Do you know what? I think fine with each other.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the dynamic?
What is the dynamic? I don't know. I just think it's one of them that we would agree to disagree on. And
yeah.
Anything happened since you've been back with her?
No.
No.
You're saying it like I have done something, just to clarify.
I know, for a fact, you haven't.
Nothing happened. That wasn't a loaded question. It was just I was just being curious.
I think sometimes...
Hate me. I'm just a podcast host.
Yeah,
well, no, I'm doing my job.
You're not just a podcast host. No, I think a lot of time in life there's...
Can you imagine you're a twat as well? Yeah. That's what I think you're going to like. Not just a podcast host. You're a twat.
Can we do that again? No, you're not just a podcast host. You're a twat as well. No, I think I feel like I'm being really PC about this, but I do have respect for that situation.
Yeah.
In life, there's conversations and solutions, and I think we've had the necessary conversations, and it hasn't come to a solution.
Fair enough. Yeah. You got to agree to disagree sometimes. I agree to disagree with a lot of people, so I can relate.
There we go. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Very, very mature, and I love the fact that's what you're looking for, you know?
Mm.
So, what's the dating life now?
Sips, drink. What's the Corsica reference?
Okay.
Sorry. What's the kind?
Is it?
Oh, don't worry.
I was there. No, I was in Corsica.
No, Imogen did it when she was having a conversation with Ruby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She went, sip drink.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's the dating life now? Oh, what's the dating life like now, then?
Have been dating.
Well done.
Got out.
Yeah. Have been dating.
And you have to wait and find out how successful it's been.
Okay.
What? Marsh, you know better than anyone.
I know. I was trying to see what I could say without saying anything.
No, because you're going to get me in trouble. And you're
No.
He said it.
No, you didn't say anything. I'm just saying it's been a rollercoaster for you for this dating journey. What I like about you, which is great and something, you know, a lot of men who are listening to this, a lot of young males, aspire, please, to go this way, how tempting it is when you date. When you date someone, you date that one person. You actually don't message anyone. You don't, you know, you are very solely putting your first foot forward with someone and wanting to make it work.
All your eggs in one basket.
I wouldn't even say that. I wouldn't say you put all your eggs in but one basket, but you definitely show up as someone who is invested. Like, I'm not here...
Definitely make them feel that way.
That's for sure.
No, but I think it's the right thing to do. Like, you'll talk to a few people when somebody grabs your interest, put all your effort into that. We're busy people. Like, if you're trying to date multiple people, you're not going to get the best out of that one person.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I'll keep trying and trying and trying and trying, because I don't think any relationship is perfect. And if you're put off by the first thing, I'd rather put my energy into like one person.
What is the perfect relationship in your eyes?
What I'm looking for personality wise, or like
just to describe the perfect girl.
Yeah.
So it's got nothing to do with looks. Obviously, I need to find them sexually attractive, but for me, it's having someone who's fun. Who I can fuck around with, laugh and joke around with.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say who I could fuck with. I was like, wow. Yeah, fair. That is essential.
That's pretty blunt.
Yeah.
Just looking for somebody to fuck, basically. Don't clip that.
Yeah, I am. Way too late. We're already up ahead. Bence, if you're watching this, clip that right now.
First and foremost, someone who like you get on with like a best mate.
Yeah,
it's so important because it seems so cliche saying it, but like once everything else is gone, that's all you've got, isn't it?
Can I ask you another question? I'm asking you loads of different questions,
no,
but I'm just interested because I feel like you are someone who is just very thoughtful. You're like, again, you're very vulnerable and you are open about how you communicate, how you date and all these sort of things. What do you think is, and we asked Robert Van Tromp, not Tramp, this question, and it's what do you think is the problem with dating at the moment in this life? Why do you think people are finding? I was having a conversation with our friend Nicole O'Brien yesterday, and we're talking about like she finds it really, really difficult to date in this generation and finding true connections, and it's constantly, you know, you put so much effort and then you just get disappointed and things happen. And it's like, it feels like everyone right now is feeling this pressure of, you know, either finding the right person or even putting the effort and the energy into dating. Cause it takes a lot of time.
Again, this is going to sound conflicting, but I think everybody's looking for perfect and you shouldn't settle for less than what you're worth. But I don't think anybody is perfect.
Yeah.
So go on.
Yeah, I agree. You say your bit first.
For me, when somebody isn't perfect and I see something in people's imperfections and it to me, it builds me closer to that person, whatever that may be.
Mm.
So like, it would be boring if it was perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I guess I think what's hard is that, and we've spoken about this before, technology, obviously dating apps and social media, like perfection exists in terms of what you are presented with in your social media, right? You see perfection, what you think is perfection. And realistically, when you meet that person that you think is, oh my God, how hot would it be to be dating that person? Like, it looks like they have the perfect life and they are the perfect person. And then you meet them and you're like, oh my God, they've got this flaw, this flaw, this flaw, this is not real. And they're like, oh fuck, okay, that's actually not what is portrayed.
Yeah. I think you've already created a narrative in your head though, haven't you? I don't want to say that online dating isn't very good, but I probably wouldn't do it. And I haven't done it for a little while. I did a campaign with Bumble and they did like these in real life things, which I thought was quite cool because you meet through events via an app, but then you actually interact with them in real life.
Yeah.
I think the problem with it is, number one, everything's so disposable these days. So if you do, I hate the fucking word ick, if a girl or boy gets an ick in somebody,
yeah,
then they're just on to the next one, right? And then also, as you just said, I think you start creating a narrative in your head of what you think this person is like based on their images, because that's how you first swipe them. If you see someone who is 10-10 in your eyes and you're like, oh my God, you're already in your head thinking,
yeah,
we're going to go on a date, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, we're going to get have so much in common.
Yeah.
And then when it falls short of that, you're disappointed. And then
you look for the next
thing. Because you're on an app, it's disposable and you can go to the next one.
Yeah, yeah, I just think there's just far too much choice. I think that's the issue.
Is that your problem?
No. I'm not saying for me personally. I just mean, look, you're on a dating app. You're flicking through all day.
Yeah.
All day.
No. We know what Charlie's up to on Saturdays. You're just flicking all day, baby. Just...
Flick through loads and loads of girls, right?
Yeah.
And you've just got so much point of comparison. Whereas back in the day, you would find someone you like. You'd be like, oh, yeah, like, this is great. And you wouldn't have like loads of other girls with different features. It almost goes a little bit against what Robert Van Trump was saying.
What? You don't remember.
Robert Van Trump was saying.
Yeah.
In that girls should compare the guys they're dating and go for the one that has the best attributes. This one might have good in this sense, while this one might have other, and then, you know, weigh it up. But almost doing that is what I think is kind of the problem.
Well, I think, I guess, like what we're saying here is you don't put 100% of your effort into one person because you're thinking about dating all these other people and going, okay, well, they've got this, they've got that, they've got this, what do I really like? And then you don't solely focus on that one person.
Yeah, exactly, because then you're sort of like taking everyone's perfect attributes and making a perfect person, and that doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, everyone's very different. Like, this is going to sound weird, I would like to connect with someone like very emotionally. I'm trying to think of how I can say this without giving anything away. For me, I like being vulnerable with somebody because then you can see somebody's empathy towards situations, and that's essentially, I'm looking to be with someone who's kind. But it's different for different people, isn't it? Like, I think it's nice to talk really deep quite early on in relationships and see how you connect over that.
Why do you think men shy away from doing that? Like, what is the you know, I've had this, like, even like when I was with Canada girl, like the one of the issues she said to me, sorry, I'm just bringing back to experience. Thanks, mate.
No, just when you refer to her as Canada girl.
Well, honestly,
Canada
girl. This is brilliant though, and I think this is what we have the ability to do. We can get really deep and talk about stuff, laugh about something, and then get back into that, or fuck around about something.
Yeah.
So I think this is important. So
no, like, and Canada girl, what the one thing that she had said to me, like, before anything had happened was, I really want to, like, talk deep with you. I want to have that real connection. And not that we weren't connected before, but one of the things, the issues I had, and I was like, oh, I don't want to do it now. Like, I want to meet you first and then talk deep. And I don't have these conversations. I think that's one of the defaults I had, because I think I was scared to be vulnerable with her, because I think vulnerability as a man sometimes is like, not frowned upon, but you feel like, oh, I don't want a woman to think I'm weak or like I'm not good enough to be, you know, the man, that role of a man in a relationship. And I did, I shied away from being, you know, we did have some deep conversations, but it was always about her, right? And I never kind of got deep with me. And like, she was like asking, she'd pick up on things and be like, oh, you said something about your childhood here. Like, what was that? And I was like, oh, no, nothing. Just like, I think it's a bit early to talk about that. And she was like, well, I've spoken to you about my family. And I felt that really, that
bit of a disconnect.
Yeah, a bit of a disconnect.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, again, going back to what we were saying here, like, idolizing the perfect woman. Like, in my head, I thought she was the perfect woman. So in my head, I thought, the perfect woman doesn't want to hear this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I need to be like, the man, let's talk about, you know, I'll ask you questions. I'll learn everything about you, and I'll do everything the right way for you. And that was it. And I think it's something that I need to definitely work on for in the future, is like making sure you can feel like you're vulnerable. You know,
yeah,
and that's something you do really, really well, especially, you know, in your current situation, you know, that we can't really talk about what's going on. I know everyone's going to watch on Main Chelsea. You know, that's what I praise you so much. And I honestly think is admirable as a best friend, seeing you being able to be that vulnerable.
So for someone who, a guy, for example, because this will probably be quite relatable to a lot of people, a guy who is struggling to be really open and vulnerable with a girl they're seeing or first starting to see, how would you like go about it?
I've just thought of this now. I think every single person in the world could agree that what you're looking for in a partner is somebody who you can feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
You can do anything, you can be your true authentic self with. And just thinking of a situation that's happened this year, I had vulnerable conversations with somebody and instantly felt comfortable. Whether that was because they were caring, they were empathetic towards the situation, whatever it was, I felt like I connected with that person because they accepted who I was and like what I was talking about. And that built the connection.
So I guess, yeah, that is ultimately what does it. But how would you advise someone to have a vulnerable conversation with someone and get to that level, you know, almost initiate that vulnerability?
Good question. Like, I don't know, you know, I made a connection because I felt comfortable talking about a situation. And I said to you, I couldn't even have that depth of conversation with you, and you're my best mate. I couldn't have it with Jamie. I couldn't have it with a lot of people. It's about finding that one person. And it's like when you're trying to figure out what you've got in common. It's a similar scenario to that. It's you're talking about situations that they can potentially relate to. You've been through similar stuff, and it's,
I guess it's someone who allows you to be vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
I think you can tell early doors, and I think that's what happened with you when you met that person. I think she made you feel like you could maybe open up like that, because one thing that you went through is that you were both being vulnerable with each other, and that's why it all kind of all started. And it's, I think, that journey of like, if someone's gonna, whoever does the first leap, I guess, of like, oh, this is going on, and they go deep, that means for you, you go, okay, well, now you've done that, maybe I can lean on you a little bit and tell you what I'm going through. And if you show acceptance in that way, I think it's really hard. I think it's, as a man, I think it's really difficult. And I really hope that more men feel that they can be more vulnerable and have those conversations. I wish I could have more. And I'm already quite, you know, emotional myself. Like, I think I'm very emotionally mature, but I do still find it hard to let everything go. Because I think, I don't know if you agree with this, is it maybe a trust issue as well? You know, you're sharing information with someone. And especially, I think, in our world, I think this is the only way I can compare it with us, is that we're very much in the public eye, and you're talking to people who sometimes you don't really know if you can trust them, regardless of how lovely and kind they are. You don't, information that you give and you tell someone and can then spread around is really scary. Like, you just feel like, fuck, if someone took that vulnerability and used it against me. And we have people in our group who do it all the time, you know, at dinner parties, and they throw things like it's nothing. You're like, you're really hurting someone. And that, I think that's why also men find that difficult. It's just like, it's hard for them to talk and speak out. And then if someone took that information and then used it against them, it's like, I need to close up. I'm not going to leave that way.
Yeah, I think it's that also tied in with not knowing how to be vulnerable, if that makes sense. In what capacity? I guess there's like this, the stigma of males not being able to be like that. So it's quite difficult to switch from probably the generation we grew up in, our parents, what they're like. It's kind of new to be like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 100%.
I think as well, when you're dating somebody, in the initial stages, you want to give your best version of yourself to that person that you're interacting with, right? And what we all need to realize is that we're all broken to some extent. And it's pointless like trying to be, I'm this perfect person, I'm going to show you how perfect I am. Once you start speaking about the things that you're self-aware of, and you can show that person that you know you've got X wrong with you, you know you've been through this situation, you know this has happened to you, then it breaks down this idea that everything is perfect.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean, but I see, not that I want to see someone a little bit broken because I see it as vulnerable and endearing, but the fact that a person can show that broken side of you to me is endearing, and it shows that they're a lot more real than somebody just trying to put this facade on.
Well, it also sort of builds or allows you to build a relationship because you're helping them with something as opposed to them just being, oh, I'm fine. You're just like, okay, it's very surface level if you do that, isn't it?
And that's so true. It's not about trying to fix somebody either.
Yeah.
It's about wanting to grow with them.
I think that's a big mistake that a lot of people do in relationships is they meet someone who has maybe a broken journey, a broken past, whatever it is, that they think, oh, I need to fix you now.
Mm.
You're with me. I'm going to make you better. And it's like, you know, you can't fix someone. You can't change someone. The reason why you probably fell in love with them or you liked them in the first place is because they have this part of them that is so sincere. And I think, again, that's super hard. Just like showing that broken part that everyone has. Everyone has gone through their own sort of struggle and you can't really compare anything. And I think that's what a lot of people do these days, is that they're like, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've gone through. Like, you've been through nothing. It's like, no, everyone's had their own, you know, past and issues. And there's no competition of who's been hurt the most or who's gone through the worst. Like, whatever's happened to you is your own, you know, part of life, right? And I think I've always noticed when I meet people who I think are a bit narcissistic or a little bit full of themselves, or there's a huge like cover up, you know, in trying to show their best version of themselves to you. And like, that's really hard, I think, also in dating at the moment, is figuring out like this kind of facade that they're showcasing. That's like, who is real anymore? Like, no one shows up being their genuine selves anymore.
Mate, that is so true. With like online dating, it is such a facade, isn't it? Like, even like I feel the certain people you speak to who get a lot of attention, you like, they have such a front. And you almost have to put on a front to engage with them.
Yeah.
And it's just a bit like, come on, like, this is ridiculous.
And you end up just being two fake people.
Yeah. And then it's very strange, isn't it?
It's also part of the game, isn't it, dating? Yeah. It's part of...
That being said, I do actually quite like when it's a bit like that to begin with.
Yeah.
It's hard
to get out of, though.
No, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like the chase.
Yeah. We like the chase.
Yeah.
We love the chase.
Because if you don't have the chase, in my eyes, it's just kind of, maybe it sounds toxic, but it's just, for me, it's part of like what gives you a bit of a buzz.
Yeah, I get that. I don't think it's toxic. I think there's limits to it, right? Like, obviously, if you're like wanting this person to constantly play around with your emotions, pick you up, drop you whenever, that's toxic. Yeah. I think, you know, what's nice is the fact that when you date in the early stages, the person doesn't give you too much straight away.
Yeah.
And doesn't give it away too much. Doesn't, you know, gives you attention there and doesn't there, you know, maybe doesn't message you for a few hours. You're like, oh, well, are you stressing out? And they're like, oh, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And you see them on Instagram doing something else. You're like, oh, maybe I'm toxic.
But I think this is where people are different. I fucking hate all that stuff. I'd rather...
No, but we hate it.
I want to be able to text you whenever. If I see something funny, I want to send it to you. I want to be able to pick the phone up, whatever. I want to spend loads of time.
No, 100%. Look, I get that. What I mean is the initial... I like it to build to that.
Yeah.
I don't want that straight away.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be something that I'm having to work for to get to that stage.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to that stage, it's so much better.
I think we've got a very warped vision of what dating is, because essentially, like, when you are doing Chelsea, you do see the person probably more than you normally would.
Yeah.
Like,
but also it becomes, just saying that, like, not even just Chelsea, I think all of us being in, we like, I'll put my hands up, and I think we are sometimes very unrelatable in dating. We are in the limelight, people do recognize us, we do have a certain platform, it would be easier for us to be dating and to be on these dating apps and all of that. So it is hard to compare what normal dating is, because we don't have normal dating. We can't say right now that we go on normal dates. It doesn't exist. And not only that, in London, living in a city like this is so different in if you were living in Bath. I don't know why I picked Bath, but, you know, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's so different.
Yeah.
And I think also going back to what we were saying about having options and choice, even without dating apps, being in London,
yeah,
you know, going out to these bars, meeting loads of new people. Like if you're in some countryside or some, you know, less busy town or city, that your dating would be more focused on one person.
Yeah.
For sure. Like I where my parents live in South France, there's no one. And apart from when it's summer season. Phew, niece, hello. But but when you're
hello.
Bonjour. But when in the winter,
can't be saying stuff like that.
But in the winter, ain't nobody there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying. We have a very different version of what dating actually means.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's not completely relatable, everything we talk about in that capacity, but like regardless of how many matches you get on dating apps, you have more choice. Like
you
do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you might get like a match a day, but even that's more, or like a match a week, but that's more than you would get if you were just doing it organically, I think.
Would it ever change?
What, away from dating apps?
Just like, I think dating now is in its own bloody lane now. It's like, it's running crazy and it will, I can't imagine dating, even for the new generation, to be any better. It will be worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm just thinking about it in terms of like, you know, it's just so stupid because you're on these dating apps, you match with people, like sometimes you just say something and you just don't talk to them. It's just,
yeah,
it's just so,
it's mad,
it is so
isn't
stupid.
It?
Honestly, this is why I don't like dating apps, because, and I don't care saying this, I swipe based on whether I would sleep with them. And it's fucking stupid.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
How else?
To be fair. I love the fact you just said that. That is the most honest thing that a guy will ever say. And that is very true.
It's ridiculous. True. I'm thinking, are you hot? Basically. You know, I'm not looking through the bios and shit like that.
Yeah,
but that's ultimately what I want from a person. I want to read their bio, man.
Isn't it, I want to know who they are. But isn't it mad when you see a bio? Your guy is about to cry.
I feel proper emotional. It's a hangover.
No, it isn't.
I think that's like commonly known though, that, you know, a dating app is pretty much, it's very superficial in terms of like...
Transactional.
But what's the point?
Sorry, what is superficial? Just based on like looks, obviously. Yeah. Because what it's doing is ticking that box of like, do you find them attractive? And then the date is where you find out about their bio.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, yeah.
Their biology.
But like what? So you prefer to go for a dating app where it's just essays, no pictures, you turn up and you're just like, fuck me.
Fucking hell. That is an amazing dating app. That is an amazing dating app. That is brilliant.
But it's stupid, isn't it? What are you looking for? We all just said we're looking for somebody we can feel comfortable with. If you're...
Can you Can you imagine a dating app where you swipe through bios and no pictures, and then it takes... Oh my God, I've got an idea. It takes you through the stages. So once you swipe once, you can't swipe for until you say you don't want to talk to this person anymore, right? And you swipe, you get to know the bio, you start talking about each other, and then it gives you... Once you've spoken for like maybe a week, then you get like one image. Then you get the image, you keep on talking, and it on the app, it knows how long you've been talking for. You get more image.
Talking every day, yeah. After a week, he's like,
no, this like, is actually.
I haven't heard from you since the week mark. Yeah. Something going wrong?
This is jokes. We've taken.
I've seen the pic. I've sent you a profile picture. Is everything okay?
Have you watched Catchphrase before, where it's like a screen with 20
tiles
on it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to press the button, it randomly takes one away. That's actually quite a good idea.
That's essentially what
so
it
is. So like one day you'll get a toe or something.
Like a foot. You'll get the pictures of the
baby. You've got a foot fetish, haven't you?
Yeah. Do you have a foot fetish?
Oh, fuck off. Yeah. don't try and build this story around me. You can fuck yourselves, boys.
That's a great idea.
Like Naked Attraction, where you just show
yeah,
like,
but the opposite.
just get your cock out. Might get arrested for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine bit by bit, right at the end, you get fully naked pictures. Hey, no, but that would be. I reckon people would be more intrigued by. Also, it would actually Like, it would take out all the people who are just on dating apps to hook up. Because if you were someone who just, like, I just want to hook up all the time, right? And you saw this app, you're like, fuck that. I have to wait weeks, or I have to message them. I have to only get a bio. It would cut out all the people who are on apps just to have sex.
I was about to say that, because for a lot of guys, they just wouldn't go on it.
Cause no, of course.
They just want to go on dating exactly. apps for sex. I'm sure it's vice versa for girls as well, for some girls. And yeah, it would. But... So how would it work? You just basically...
So you would basically...
What would your profile be?
So the profile would be...
The tiles.
Just like... you'd have no profile picture, almost. It would have a whole profile card. You have your profile picture, but it can only be unlocked after a certain amount of time. So you'd be swiping on people's bios, so their first sentence or something, and then you can click on it, and you know, like on Rail, whatever app, you click on it, you've got all the information, loads of pictures. Here, you'd click on it, and it would have a kind of like Hinge, you know, the questions, but a bit more bio about them, what they do, all that kind of stuff. And then you'd be, okay, I find that interesting. You swipe right. And if they liked your bio, you'd swipe together and you connect. Then from that, you'd message. And after maybe like 2-3 days, once you've done, I don't know, 100 text messages, well, that's a bit a lot, maybe like 20 messages, you then get a profile picture, but only an icon. You can't really see much. Then you, as it goes along, it unlocks more about their profile.
You could also incorporate a bit of like a social media aspect. So, you know, you're posting stuff on there about like what you're doing.
Yeah.
But you can never see them.
Yeah.
So then you get to learn a bit more about them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mate, should we start this dating app?
This is an amazing dating app.
It's class.
Maybe we should start up. What should we call it?
You can't see me.
You can't.
John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena.
I'm blind.
Get John Cena to do the advert. Blind dating.
Yeah, blind dating. Or
Love is Blind.
Valerie exists.
I'm joking.
Yeah,
but like,
it's a good idea.
That's actually a great app. If there's any like app investors who want to message us, please do. Or don't take the idea and then do it without us, because we came up with it now.
It's
stamped. Copyrighted it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
It's actually quite a good app.
It's a good idea. I think it would.
I think loads of people would be.
You know. I actually feel really sorry for people I see on dating apps like Hinge, who basically have like long term relationship on there, because I just see. Just to be completely honest, I don't know any guy who goes onto Hinge with the thought process of I'm going to go on here for a long-term relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from attempts.
No, I go on it with a view.
Does it deter you away if you see that?
No.
Don't care.
No. Well, at my present moment, maybe, yeah.
Because I think when you see a bio that says looking, sometimes you'll see a bio and it's like on here only looking for actual candidates who want to be a boyfriend. I'm looking for the one. That goes, even if you are in the mindset of like, I want to find a relationship, that would be like, whoa, that's a bit intense. That's a bit of pressure. Like, you are obviously, I think you would view that person as a little bit
intense.
But, yeah.
But I think that's an insight into their personality as opposed to,
and
I wouldn't ever go on a date thinking, I hope I'm going to marry you.
Sit down. Right.
Right. I'm looking to get married. So if this
if you don't want to get married, get out.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. It is an insight into their personality. And maybe I'm wrong in thinking that. I'm thinking purely from my own point of view. It probably does actually work well as well for them, right? Because they're sifting out people who are just time wasters.
Yeah.
And maybe it is a good way to approach things.
There's a different app for that. It's called Field.
Field?
He's been on Field.
Oh, I've never heard of it. What is it, Temps?
What is it?
You tell me.
No, how would you describe it? It's like a...
It's an app for people who have sex fetishes and who want to try it out and who have no shame, literally. You have no shame.
You shouldn't be shamed for it.
No.
Well,
but I'm saying you have no...
positive here.
No, okay.
No. As yeah.
Should we talk about your experience on it?
Yeah. Downloaded it. Had a threesome the same night.
Fucking hell.
Sex positive.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. You've said... Yeah.
When was this?
Christmas 2021.
Yeah.
Wow.
This has actually got a funny story.
I was there, but I did not take part of the sex.
What, you were just watching?
No. Explain it.
Okay,
explain
so...
I left.
Yeah, Miles left and left me to it.
Yeah.
I guess I was horny, so downloaded Field. Yeah. Somebody had told me about it.
It was at the time where Field became a bit of a thing. It's not anymore, but it was like, people was like, have you downloaded? Because it was a lot of people using it for threesomes, like to like find people who wanted to have like, you know, group sex.
Anyway, swiped. Fair in mind, actually, I went to the darts in Ali Pali and I was dressed up as a chicken.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And Jamie was dressed up as a fox.
Jamie wasn't involved in it though, but he was at the darts with me.
Yeah, yeah, that was so funny.
I went to the darts, dressed as a chicken, had already downloaded Field, and I'd swiped on somebody, and I guess she'd matched me on, what's the other one called?
Hinge.
She messed me on that and she said, how many times have I got to match you before we have sex? And I was like, right, okay, I guess this is happening then. She was like, what are you doing tonight? I said, well, I'm currently dressed as the chicken at the darts. And she said, do you want to have a threesome? And I was like, yes. And then I deleted it after that because, like, I don't know.
Do you want to talk about what happened?
No. No, I do not. Well, maybe one for another time, season 4. Come back and tell you about that one.
That was a funny story.
Fair. Well, I mean, it's probably quite a good place for people to go if they're just looking for something a bit, you know, cut the bullshit.
Yeah
I mean, there's I think, yeah, again, going back to the whole dating apps, like all of the dating apps realistically for me, I think, are just made for hookups, really. It's and if you do find someone who you do, and I actually do know stories who are like now married,
that's how you use them though, isn't it?
That was kind of my point a second ago, like I think I was kind of your point of view, but it, like, I think that's us looking at it how we've used it.
No, but, and that's fine. Yeah, that's down to the user of it, because we've said that there's a woman out there who's saying, oh man, who's saying no one night stands, none of this, looking for something serious, that's how she utilizes the platform. And this is weird because I'm contradicting myself. I use it to fuck. Which I don't do anyway. I don't have any of the fucking apps. And also, I don't have them because it doesn't make me feel particularly good, because I don't do very well on dating apps. I don't actually get that many matches, which is why I prefer doing it in real life.
Sorry.
Shush. Yeah, I'd much rather just go out and meet people.
Well, you know what? You're doing very good. You're doing all right in the dating department. I think a lot of everyone's going to be very excited to see this season. It's definitely a roller coaster in your dating life. We get a real insight of a lot of things, exciting times, and I'm glad I was a part of it. I can't say much. There's things I want to talk about, but we can't talk about it. All I can say is, well, we can actually disclose a few things. Obviously, everyone's going to be talking about it in the press. Winter series, obviously, is coming up very, very soon. No one knows where it is, or do we? Well, we do. But it is happening, right?
I think so, yeah.
It is happening, the winter series. It's going to be somewhere pretty, pretty cool, I think. I know. And are you excited for it?
If I'm there, I'm buzzing for it, yeah.
If I'm there. After this season, trust me.
Do you reckon?
Your flight's already booked, mate.
A cast baby.
There's if no one knows, there's A, B, C, and D cast members.
When I was being a plant pot, I was definitely
he was a D. He was a D character on the show. But okay, well, okay, guys. Well, look, thank you so much for joining this episode. This has been a lovely chat with our boy. Really insightful. A bit of dating, a bit of Chelsea, a bit of just life in general. Always a pleasure to have you on board.
And make sure you tune in to see me wanking, running, eating donuts and drinking beers.
You said it there. Anything we need to talk about?
And that's why I love this.
No.
And this is how I want my relationships to be. We've gone from starting off the podcast talking about that to getting pretty deep.
Yeah.
And now we can joke about the start of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we need. We just want, you know, we want a mate that we can fuck. And on that note, guys, we're leaving there. Thank you so much for watching us. Please follow our boy Thames on all socials. Follow Playtime Podcast, social media. Give us a thumbs up. 5-star everything. You know what time it is.
Chubba.
I love you guys. See you later.
See you later, guys.